Well, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. We're working through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're at chapter 2, verse 17, through to chapter 3 and verse 5 this morning. It says this, "Brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did, again and again, but Satan stopped us. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. We know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you, and our efforts might have been useless." There's a wonderful picture of a caring person here in the Apostle Paul. And I've entitled my message very simply this morning, "The Characteristics of a Caring Person." Paul was very concerned about the church at Thessalonica, even although he had only spent 3 weeks at that church, helping build that church. He had made a connection with them. They were part of his soul. He wanted to make sure that they were growing as believers. And so part of writing this letter was to be an encouragement to them. But we've got a wonderful picture of a person who cares. What are the characteristics of a caring person? First of all, they do not like to be separated from those that they love. Paul writes, "Brothers, when we were torn away for you for a short while." That word we translated, "when we were torn away from you," in Greek actually means it is as if you had died. Paul was so distraught by the fact that he couldn't get to see them. He describes their separation as if that person had died and was gone forever. But in fact, they weren't. They were just going through a hard time. And so when Paul writes to them, he says to them, "Man, I'm so concerned for you. It feels even as if you have died and have been taken away from me." Those who have lost loved ones understand the pain of separation. And the pain that Paul was feeling is exactly the same as that. But it carries on, the passage carries on. The second characteristic is that they constantly think about others. The verse said, "Though you've been torn away for a short time, in person, not in thought." Again, that's a very interesting word in the Greek there. It's translated in our English as "in thought," but in Greek, the word actually is in our hearts. The word is cardia, the Greek word over there. And Paul says, you're not far from our heart. Our heart feels broken when we're unable to come and see you and be with you. And I wonder if we feel the same. I think those of us who are separated from loved ones by, for whatever reason there is, literally your heart is broken because of that. Thirdly, third characteristic of a caring person, friends, is they make every effort to show how much they care. The last part of that first verse in verse 17 says, out of our intense longing, we make every effort to see you. The word effort is a word that Paul uses in many different passages of Scripture. It's translated as superabundantly. Paul doesn't just kind of do a little bit. He's not only saying, oh, well, you know, I'm going to maybe send you a parcel or something like that. He says, I care for you so much that I want to do super abundantly for you, more than I possibly could do to show you how much I love for you. One of the verses in which Paul uses that word is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, where it's talking about what Jesus has done for us. In Ephesians 2 verse 20, it says this, now him who is able to do super abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. Now friends, really what Paul is saying is, if we're to care for other people, we must do it in the same way as Jesus does. Jesus, friends, loves us immeasurably more, super abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. And Paul says to them, I care for you super abundantly. I want to show you just how much I love you and care for you. Just, it's a challenge for us, isn't it? Challenge to be reminded just how much do we care for others. Fourthly, the fourth characteristic of a caring person is found in verse 18. Paul says, the passage says, the point I'm making is, caring people will not even allow Satan to separate them from those that they love. Verse 18 says, we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan has stopped us. I don't know if you know, but the word Satan means our adversary, the one who is our enemy, the one who is constantly looking for ways to break Christians down. And that's what Paul is saying. We've been frustrated by Satan from being able to come and see you. Friends, that's the sad reality. Satan often breaks down. Satan's purpose is never to build up. Satan's purpose is never redemptive. Satan's purpose is always, as we know in John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. And Paul was frustrated because every time he wanted to go and see them, something must have happened that prevented him from going to see him. You mustn't forget that Paul was kicked out of the town, chased out of the town by the authorities. And I'm sure there was a price on his back. that if he went back to Thessalonica, the authorities in Thessalonica would arrest him and lock him up and cause him much harm in that process. But Paul says, I'm not going to allow Satan to discourage me. I love you and I care for you. And even though Satan wants to frustrate me, I'm not going to allow that to happen. I'll find some other way to be able to show my love and care for you. The fifth characteristic of a caring person is found in verse 19 and 20 of chapter 2. It says, we are reminded, a caring person reminds those they love just how much they mean to them. Look at, as Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, what does he say? For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, Paul says, you are our glory and joy. Friends, words have a very powerful effect in people's lives. There's two points I want to make today that one of them is not in the notes. The first one is the power of words. Paul, friends, says to them, you are our joy, you are our glory, you are all those things there, our hope. I was looking for a little poem, looking for something to remind us of the power of words. And I came across a pretty simple little poem. The author of the poem is a person called Omkar Atale. This is what it says. Words can make one happy. Words can bend one's mind. Words can make one grumpy. Words can make one kind. Words can illuminate a man. Words can make one weep. Words can hurt so much that a man cannot even sleep. Words can hide the truth. Words can strike the heart. Words can provoke the youth to make a revolutionary start. Words can give one freedom. Words can push one to heights. Only words have such powers to separate wrong from right. Words are more than missiles. They can make one just die. But words, if hit, cause much damage that makes one forget to try. Words, before being spoken, are under your control. But after we speak the words, we fall under their control. Friends, the reality is words are very powerful. I wonder how many of us sitting here haven't kind of had the words of somebody influential in the back of our mind that have influenced us over many, many years. Somebody who once may have told you, you're useless. A teacher who tells a child, you'll never amount to much. A parent who kind of destroys the children with their words. Friends, we need to be very careful. A caring person is careful about their words. That's what Paul is showing us the opposite in this passage. He's reminding us, friends, of the importance of speaking life-empowering words into people's lives. Let's never lose sight of that. The other point that came to me as I was just reflecting on the message again this morning is this. Paul says, you are our joy and our crown when we are in the presence of Jesus. So what's he saying, friends? He is saying that the people we influence, the people we care for, the people that are drawn to Jesus because of us, that is part of the joy of being in heaven. Have you ever thought about that? Friend, who are you influencing? Who are you? Who's going to be your crown in heaven? Who's going to be the one that when you get to heaven, you can say to the Lord, Jesus, this person I led to know you. Or this person I cared for. Friend, that is the important thing. You've often heard me say from this pulpit, there are only two things we can take with us into eternity. One is God's word, because the Bible tells us the word of the Lord will never pass away. And the other, friends, are the souls of the people God has given us the privilege of influencing. Everything else, friends, all the money, all the fame, all the education, all the things, friends, they'll all be left behind. But God's word, God's people, that's what we take with us into eternity. And Paul understood that. That's why he speaks power, power empowering words into the lives of the church at Thessalonica. Number six. Sixth characteristic of a caring person. It says this, they are willing to sacrifice their own comfort for others. Paul says in chapter 3, so when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and fellow worker in spreading the gospel. For this reason, in verse 5, we could stand it no longer. I sent Timothy to find out about your faith. The Apostle Paul, friends, was a man who probably had very bad vision, very bad eyes. And he needed somebody to help him. He needed somebody at his side. We often find in the scriptures, on the passages where Paul says, I've written this in my own hand, but see how big my writing is. Which makes us realize that Paul had problems with his eyes. And Timothy was his guide. Timothy was with him. Timothy was his right-hand person. But Paul said, it's better for me to be on my own and suckle and battle than for you not to have comfort. Paul was willing, friends, to sacrifice his own comfort so that the church at Thessalonica could be comforted. And then finally, the final characteristic of a caring person, friends, is that they are interested in other people's spiritual well-being. Paul writes, we sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. The ultimate expression, friend, of your care about somebody else is, how much do you care about their spiritual well-being? Oh, you may be able to take them food or a blanket or whatever they may need, friends. But the one thing people need, friends, is they need spiritual care. If you don't care for somebody spiritually, think of it as this. It is as if you are saying to that person, it's all right for you to go to hell. If you don't tell somebody about Jesus, friends, when you have an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus, friends, what you're actually saying is, you can go to hell and I will go to heaven. So the ultimate sign, the ultimate care, the most important care, friends, we could ever have for somebody else is to be interested in their spiritual well-being, to challenge them, to say to them, oh, do you know whether you're going to heaven or not? Don't be afraid to ask somebody that question, friends. Nobody may have ever asked a person that question before. You may be the catalyst that God uses to turn a person to Jesus. Now, who's the greatest example of a person who cares? Isn't it Jesus? You see, God was separated from us. And even although Satan tried to frustrate God's plans, friends, God came to earth to die for us. Just like the Apostle Paul wanted to go to Thessalonica, God in Christ came to earth to show us how much he loved us. When he speaks to us, friends, it's Jesus who said, I have come that you may have life. That's what Jesus has come. Jesus has come to give us the greatest gift that we could ever have. Friends, the words of Jesus are words that build us up. But the ultimate care, friends, of Jesus is for our spiritual well-being, isn't it? He is the one who hung on a cross, who paid the penalty, who took away our sin, who said, I want you to be with me for all eternity. Amen, sister. I care for you so much that I'm even willing to die for you. Will we care for others like Jesus cares for us? Will we build others up with our words? Will we have the boldness to challenge their spiritual understanding or their spiritual standing so that they may, friends, come into a deep understanding of who Jesus is? May God make us as a congregation at Bethany Emmanuel a complete caring community, as we not only care for each other, but care for our community and our country. Let's pray together. Lord, make us caring people. Help us to reflect your love. Help us to reflect what you have done for us. We give you all the praise, Lord, for your loving care toward us. We give you thanks today in Jesus' name. Amen.